Ding, you got the kings. Welcome to another episode of the Phone Hacks Podcast with me, Mike Goldstein, and the baby spice to my posh spice.
Oh, yes.
Nick Capper. Capper's back.
I'm back.
Oh,
it's so good to be back.
Look at this.
You know, I'm feeling stop right now. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm feeling tell you what I want. I really, really want.
When two become one?
Two become one, yes. What? Did Posh Spice or Baby Spice have a career after Spice Girls? Not really.
I mean, well, Posh married well, Beckham's.
Yeah. She didn't have her own single or anything, though, did she?
She would have tried, of course.
I think Baby Spice had one.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of huge Baby Spice fan.
We got a Spice Head in the house. Spice Head sounds like a racial slur.
It does.
And it's accurate. Fennel, cumin, I'm into all of the spices.
But you, as a brown man, it'd be crazy if someone was like, look at this fucking Spice Head.
Yeah. I'm going to start making up slurs like that do sound like slurs, but they're actually not offensive.
Yeah.
Just so I can get all my, you know, regional aggression out.
Yeah.
Baby Spice was always the weirdest, craziest fucking character to me because they're sexualized. All the Spice Girls are sexualized, and then there's one that looks like a baby. She's hot.
Yeah.
Little baby. Wah, wah.
She was pretty hot, how old were you when the Spice Girls were?
Oh, so what was it, 99, 2000?
Yeah.
I was like 18?
Yeah, you could be into, oh no, 18, maybe not. But I was like 12, so you could, babies still, yeah, no.
Yeah. You're still in the, maybe, no, it's still fucked up.
It was crazy because all girl groups or all boy groups, they're always like crazy attractive. And then the whole thing about the Spice Girls is they weren't like all 10s. You know, it just shows you how backwards we were as a society back then.
All right, let's do it now. Let's rate them. Let's go through them all. Who was your fave?
So this is your first episode back? Is that?
For a couple of weeks.
For a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you're going hot into rating the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Out of 10. All right.
Yeah.
That's bold. Bold stuff.
Well, we were doing it before. Before we turned the mics on, you were rating everyone.
Yeah.
You had all the photos in your pocket.
Well, the balance of that, we'll do the Spice Girls and then we'll do Backstreet Boys straight after.
Yeah.
So, all equality's sake. But I'll just go, I'll say Ginger was the top for me.
Okay.
Yeah, Ginger was the top for me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, we all take Ginger.
Yeah.
I'm scared to where this is going to end up.
Are you Scary Spice scared?
Yeah.
No, she's up there. I would actually put Posh maybe at the bottom. A little too angular and skeletal for
probably,
my liking.
Probably Baby next.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say for me.
I was always big into personality. So.
Personality.
Yeah. And Posh,
unfortunately, there's no personality Spice. Emotionally available Spice.
I think, and then Sporty was apparently the only one that could actually sing.
Mm.
And then the rest, their voices were fine, but you could just auto-tune it. Like, you know what I mean? But she was the one with the real talent.
I can't even really picture Sporty in my...
The lesbian.
Oh, now it all comes to me.
Scissor Spice.
Scissor Spice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's been a while, mate. We're back in a new year.
Yeah.
This is the first episode we're together for this new year. I listened to the one with Conchetta and Caution. Great episode.
Oh, dude.
You did the heavy lifting, mate.
Dude, what? I did the heavy lifting?
No, you didn't. it was an equal split, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, that episode went off. Like, the format has proven to work regardless of whether we're both here.
Yeah.
So
it's a strong premise. Yeah, yeah. You guys can walk away from it. Yeah, now. Just hand it over.
Although I did give up on myself at one point. I tried to record one after a gig.
Yeah.
We might have it as a Patreon episode. He still hasn't written back to me with Nick Carr and Rachel Hornbuckle. And I thought it was going to be a great ep, but let's just say that I decided to have a little bit of hospitality before the podcast.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that'll make it better.
Are we beverages or are we talking devil's dandruff?
we're talking the devil's dandruff.
Yeah, okay.
Someone had some left over and they're like, should you do it before the podcast? I was like, hell yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was fucking, you're just talking over each other and, you know, it's not making it any better. But that's the thing about the devil's dandruff is it makes shit conversations sound good.
Yeah. In that moment, you're having a great time.
Yeah. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
And no one laughs at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's just like, I'm just waiting to go. You know, there's never big laughs.
Everyone just wants their opportunity to talk. You're not listening to the other person. And usually these conversations, you're like, fuck, we should start a podcast. But you guys were actually doing one.
We're actually doing one.
There's nowhere to go from there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I don't know what we're getting towards the end. And then Carl looked down. He's like, oh, I ran out of storage.
So
just like half an episode.
Yeah.
So anyway, I walked away going, oh, my God, I've lost it. I need Mike here. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And then I did a good one with Shad and Jake after that. So yeah. My spirits were reinvigorated.
That's all right. Yeah. So you got one in. That might come out after this episode. And then look out on the Patreon for the old Devil's Dandruff one, which could be a total train wreck.
I wrote a message to Nick Carr. I was like, hey, mate, did you find out how much we had? And he hasn't written back.
Oh, God.
Is that embarrassing?
So that means it might be 10 minutes and then it just cuts off. And it was just you three rambling to each other into microphones for no fucking reason. Into the void.
Man, it was at like 11:30 at night as well on his back deck. So his neighbors would have just been going, what the hell is going on? They're not like, there's no music. They're just talking loud in the dark in this weird presenter voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd prefer to like to be, your house to be haunted or something like that. People making podcasts next door.
Outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell, man. Well, so look out for that. And then to our Patreon subscribers, we will be putting tons of content up because we neglected December. Yeah. Capper went away.
Yeah.
I got COVID, which the what you called it before COVID? You said the Chinese flu? Is that what you said?
No. I called it the Korean flu.
Okay. All right.
I doubled down on them. You tried to trap me and I went full in. I dived into the pit.
Here's the thing though. I had COVID and you didn't want to record obviously because it would ruin you were going to New Zealand on holiday. And I get it totally, but it was so mild and I was still out there sucking and fucking and just living life.
Just sucking, basically.
Basically sucking.
Just sucking.
Yeah, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta, because like it's fucking, you'd pass on the COVID, you know?
Yeah, if you can still suck.
Face
to face. You can still suck because
keep your face away from their face.
Yeah, as long as they mask up.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Exactly.
And if I don't spit, because spitting is unhygienic, right? And then
that's how it spreads.
Yeah.
You got to swallow, man.
Yeah, dude. That's the COVID safe way of sucking. I think the episode before this one is Ben Russell and Prue Blake.
Oh, yes.
Another capitalist ep. So, yeah, I did four or five without you. But it was a fantastic episode. And we stopped, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've stopped doing the hacks. We do the phones, but the hack at the end of the episode, I've given up on. I've stopped doing.
I have noticed.
So wait, Mike's called this meeting on the podcast.
Yeah.
Has not consulted with me.
Well.
Oh, so this was you just decided that
I feel
solo.
Like people are donating. We've been doing this for what, almost 3 years
now?
Yeah. We're coming up on 250 eps, you know? And so we got to do something for that. But I think this is like 248.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like these people are donating their time. Like you came in today and then just like to fucking have you send Trek's dick to your uncle or something. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
The huge thing about you guys stopping doing the hacks is now when I see someone post something,
yeah,
that That's them.
That's them.
They're actually humiliating. That is, yeah. That, oh. You should be embarrassed.
Especially the end of year wrap ups, you know? Like man. God, the most earnest, lamest shit.
Yeah, I saw
ever.
A few of those, which I thought, phone hacks at it again.
Yeah.
No, that's just Siraj being sentimental.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, we can get back into them at some point, but I think there's enough. With just going through the phones, talking about what comes up, and just, you know, hanging out with your friends, catching up, sucking.
Yeah. Although we did, we did a couple of hacks last. Well, the episode. Oh, we'll round those up on the episode after this one.
All right,
the Shad and Jake one, they were good. Yeah, very good.
All right.
So yeah, basically, Jake set up a thing for Shad Wicker, and it was he made a fake show for him. Where it's all crowd work show.
Yeah.
And it was like crowd work and he was in a high-vis vest and stuff. Very good.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. You guys doing a new Brisbane show, especially when there's one other crowd work show and they were hoping they'd piss this other comedian off as a funny joke.
Right. I think I'd scrolled past this and I was just like, man, Brisbane sucks.
And then I did a good one to Jake because they're renovating Good Chat Comedy Club. I got him to send a message to Damien Power going, hey, mate, can't wait to have you on at the show.
Yeah.
Just because it's opening night, please refrain from any triggering topics like gender politics, et cetera. And it might not hurt you to dress up as well, like maybe wear a jacket.
Did Damo respond?
Damo responded. He knew it was a hack straight away.
Yeah.
But it was more of a hack on Jake, just watching him constantly check his phone.
Yeah.
And then Damo read it and left him on read for 7 minutes. And watching him stress, I've got it on video, it's fucking hilarious.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll put that episode before this one if we could just recap that. I mean, you just did it, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no structure anymore. We're fucking fast and loose, bro.
Fast and loose, bro.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a hack right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is you. Someone said, get Seren here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And convince him you're recording a podcast. Yeah. This is not even being recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Oh, I ran out of space 1 minute in.
Yeah, that's been the whole prank every time we've had you on, man.
Yeah,
we're like, help this poor prick out. You know what I mean? Just like, it's in the group chats. Like, I can't believe you got Seren on the podcast. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, he really thinks he's doing well, you know?
Well, you moved back to Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What's the reason there?
My family are here. We've been 10 years in Sydney.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to... Well, we bought a house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
And we couldn't afford to do that in Sydney.
Pretty well.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't afford it. Yeah. What do you mean you couldn't afford to do that in Sydney? It's great. It's so cheap, easy to get around, you know.
Yeah, but we want. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could have bought a place in what, Central Coast?
Yeah, we did. We're in a real southern suburb of Sydney. Yeah. Yeah. Coburg. You ever heard that joke before? Yeah.
No. That's pretty good.
So that was exciting. But yeah. Yeah, it's good to be back in Melbourne.
It is good to have you back.
There's a real energy here. It's so loose compared to Sydney.
Yeah.
It is, man.
I'm just happy to have a Sri Lankan brother back. You know?
That's the other thing. I feel like we're all here now.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Dill, Naz, I'm half of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Rowan's here now. There's none left in Sydney.
Do you guys like have a support group or something?
They don't let me in.
You guys all get together.
They call me fucking white face. They don't let me in.
You rocked in with your Starbucks coffee and stuff. They're like, mate, this is brutal.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So white.
Yeah,
you know?
They call me a colonizer.
I didn't know you knew about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude.
I don't want to hear the obscenities Mike yelled at you, you know?
He calls me Spicehead.
Spicehead.
I call him Spicehead. I mean, we all call each other Mudblood. But then if I say it in public, people give me
what's up, my Mudblood? Is that what you guys said? I'd never heard that one before. That's disgusting. yeah, mate. Well, it's good having you about, you know. Man, this is such a funny memory. I don't know why I remember this, right? I remember when you first moved to Sydney.
Yeah.
And I was doing my first Melbourne Comedy Festival and I'd just been introduced to you. We were talking. I don't know if you remember this. And I was like, you talked to me about a venue or something in Melbourne. And I was like, Oh, yeah, man. There's heaps of venues you can choose from. You can choose what venue you want to go to, and then you ring them up, and then they and I explained to you the whole system, I think, about how you get a venue at Melbourne Comedy Festival and the best places to go to. To like, you want to get closer to Town Hall, and you're like, yeah, yeah, I've just I've lived there. Yeah. I live there.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually done three festivals.
The coolest
festivals,
thing is, this is your character. You could have just ripped the piss out of me or just fucking never talked to me again. Yeah. But instead you were like, just gave me the time. Like, thanks for your help, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt bad for you. I think I remember taking notes and like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to, yeah.
It's crazy down, condescending on Cabra's part to be like, all right, and this is how the internet works. Like, you type on this little keypad or, and then you send a message and it goes through a bunch of like Skywires or something.
Oh, man. I heard that Goxie told me the funniest story the other day. I caught up with him and we did a podcast. He's like, I'm doing a podcast now. He goes, I've got to find a library with a podcast in. So he looked at two libraries.
Yeah.
Both didn't have quiet rooms. He's like, all right, we'll go to Macca's. And just,
which he's much more familiar with, a Macca's than a library.
Man, and this wasn't like, we didn't, this was a suburb my friend was staying in. So he didn't purposely come to this Macca's.
Yeah.
But we went to this Macca's in Annerley and he's like, I swear there's a second floor to this one. And I was like, what?
It acting doesn't look like he's not familiar with the workings of every fast food joint.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. This was just Annerley Macca's. Like, yeah. And he knew that there was a second floor, and there was. Like, through this door, really? You walk down, there was a whole second floor, and we recorded it in the second floor of the Macca's.
Nice.
He's got that sort of Jason Bourne kind of, like, yeah, he'll walk into a Macca's and he knows everything immediately about the Macca's, but only for, like, Red Roosters.
And anyway, he told me the best story ever. He's like, oh, it's embarrassing, man, when I go to the library, because none of the middle keys of the keyboard work on my computer. Only the kind of outside ones because I spilled a drink on it or something, right?
Yeah.
So he goes, so what I do is the letters that do work, I use them, but the other ones, I just go to a website and I copy and paste the letters to type something.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's I've done that when I was like overseas and they don't have the at symbol or something on the keyboard, you know, and you're trying to send an email. You're like, I can't even. But imagine doing that for like half your keyboard.
Yeah. Letter by letter.
Yeah. But and also, if that was my keyboard, I'd do it once. I'd copy all the letters into a Word document. I just always have that open to get them from.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like every time he needs a letter, he's going to a new website. And then he's like, how do I get into the I can't type a website. Yeah, he has to go to like www.bbc.com. That's the only letters. Yeah.
He's just going to Macca's website and stuff, and he's just using words. He's like, hello, cheeseburger.
Everything, his sign off is McCheers.
I would like a small fries, amount of your time.
Did you watch much of the World Cup?
No, I couldn't be fucked staying up or getting up early. So,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and it's like NFL playoffs time, so I'm going to watch that.
You got to choose, make your priorities.
Well, because tennis is on now and I'm like spending 6 hours a day on the couch and then NFL is still going. And so like if I added World Cup to that mix, it would just be fucking 12 hours, just bed to couch, couch to bed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
watching athletes.
Yeah. And, and I just couldn't justify it.
Yeah.
And my, you know, you got to give your partner time to watch whatever reality bullshit they're into.
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, so with the World Cup.
The reason I brought it up is because Messi, the whole time, it took me the whole World Cup, and thank God Argentina made it all the way through so I could finally figure it out. But I was like, he reminds me of someone. I can't quite place it. And then watching the final, I was like, it's Goxie. He's like the best timeline version of Goxie.
Oh, I can kind of see
His face is like, they've got the same face.
Ah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I see it.
They do, yeah.
It's like a little more time on the park and a little less time.
Yeah.
Typing.
Type of pride.
But they're so similar, I feel.
Yeah. It's a different, parallel universe, Goxie.
Yeah. Goxie's a good sportsman.
Yeah.
Like he's.
He used to bring a footy to every gig, right? Like he would carry a footy ball to every gig and like hold it on stage. And then was there even a gag or he was just like fucking.
He loves sports.
Prop. Yeah.
I went skateboarding with him a few times, and it was when I was getting back into skateboarding. I just learned to drop in again.
Yeah.
And then there was this the gnarliest pool you've ever seen in Coburg. It was like death drop. Like you couldn't – there's no way you could drop in on it unless you're an expert, like fully deep. And Goxie's like, I'll drop in. And just the man of that size just tried to drop in, just fell off the front and just slid, just smashed himself on the bottom of the pool.
Jesus.
And it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen because it was just so lame.
Was there other people there?
You know, there wasn't a roll or anything. He just fucking hit the deck and slid, you know what I mean? It wasn't even spectacular or anything like that. It was
Like to point out, when I said that Messi is the best timeline Goxie, anyone would be happy with that. Of course, Messi's like the best
of all time.
So it was actually like it's not really even a roast or a dig. It was a compliment. Yeah. But that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
This.
Sliding on his face into an empty pool with children probably laughing at him.
It was like the funniest thing I'd ever seen. Yeah. It was just so, you know, just such an anti-climax.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. That's cool. But now I'll never look at Messi again without seeing Goxie. Because the more I think about it, I was like, yeah, their faces are the exact same.
I think so. Yeah.
I love that that's what you took away from the World Cup.
Yeah. I was like, thank God Argentina made it all the way through. I wouldn't have figured it out.
Yeah. Holy shit.
All right.
Should we get into the phones?
Yes, let's get into the phones.
So I don't know if you remember, Seren, but I spin the wheel each time, so you can hold on to your phone for now. I never even said the premise of the pod. If there's anyone jumping in at episode 248 or whatever this is, we spin a wheel that decides whether we go through camera roll, notes, search history, or draft tweets, and spin the wheel each time. Are you on Twitter still? Are you tweeting?
I wouldn't have tweeted for ages, but probably recently.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Most people now are like, nah, stop tweeting. Who gives a shit? There's no draft tweets. So
it was nice when Elon Musk bought it because I was like, felt vindicated in never have given like enough my full dedication to Twitter. And I was I saw it coming. You know?
Dude, to me, it's like I was looking at it a lot during lockdown. So now it's just kind of a reminder of that particular.
Yeah, your mental state. In the worst time in history.
Yeah, dude. And it's like now I might put one tweet up every 2 months or something.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. And it's
you got athletes to watch on the screen.
I got athletes. Yeah. I got to sit on the couch and watch athletes all day, man. It's fucking tough shit. If you don't have anything in draft tweets, we'll just do notes instead. Yeah. But
I'm starting a thing where I'm like, I'm going to start sticking up for Elon.
Yeah.
You know, when someone brings him down in a conversation, I'm going to be like, no, I reckon he's a cool guy. I reckon what he did is cool, and it's cool to buy Twitter.
He's funny, man.
He's funny. I'm just going to start doing it. I think you know.
He brought a sink into the Twitter offices, and then he said, "Let that sink in."
Yeah,
that's a good bit. Funny, bro.
Have you ever committed to a bit like that?
No, I would have. If I was rich like him, I probably would have committed to a bit. Like I'd make a huge sink. You know what I mean? Not just a normal sink.
True.
Like a fucking big one.
The wealth went into buying Twitter. That's where the money went.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he had much left over to invest in the sink. But but fair. Yeah.
And I think also, you know, like a lot of these things is just a scapegoat. You know, like just like people feel shit about their own lives. So they're like, well, at least I'm not Elon Musk.
True.
You're like, nah.
I actually think that you need Elon Musk, and it's like he's the like Greta Thunberg.
Well, you need him. You carry that photo of him.
Yeah, it's
weird.
I need him.
Phone case.
Wow, that really.
That's all you talked about before we started up. It was annoying, and then he started rating models, and it was a weird time. Have you come to the right podcast?
I'm still not convinced this is a podcast.
All right, spinning the wheel to see what Capper is going through in my phone, and then eventually Capper will pass his phone over to Seren, and I'll get Seren's. So the wheel is landing on... Oh, just ticked over in a camera roll. All right, Cap. I don't think there's going to be a lot of... I haven't vetted it at all, and it's been a while since we've gone through it, so there could be a lot of shit in there.
Oh, there's one, but I don't know whether I should.
Yeah.
It's a job offer.
Oh. Yeah, we can talk. I mean, because it's just they've just put their feelers out for Australian Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're just like, they've apparently Channel 10's looking for people. So I got a text from my agent, said, would you be interested in doing Australian Amazing Race?
Are they contacting you because of the Sri Lankan side of your family or the Jew side of your family?
I think both.
Yeah.
Both, you know, disenfranchised people that have had to move around the world a lot. You know?
Yeah.
So I think both sides maybe add into that, but like, you're saying for the diversity quotient.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, it's the double whammy.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm bi as well. So, you know, it ticks all the boxes. And then my partner Shannon's a huge fan of the show, and so if I did it, it would be me and her.
You'd have to go on with her. Yeah.
And so he was like, should I put you forward for this? And I'm like, all right, but fuck, I never book anything, so you know, I'm not no hopes really. And then also it would be the ultimate test, not only traveling, we've traveled everywhere together, but on camera, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm sure it would shift the dynamic totally.
It's not just on camera. It's with them trying to like make you have arguments.
Yeah.
Because it's like not, they don't want a dream team on TV.
Yeah. They don't want everything going smoothly.
Yeah.
They want you going through the
most
stressful
shit. They want you to split up
by
the end of it.
Yeah. Totally, man. And then, you know, they make you do little challenges and shit. So I'm going to get on there, but I'm going to ask if it's called The Amazing Race, if I just talk about white people the whole time.
Yeah. You go on there thinking this is a show about that. How did you know I was in the National Socialist Party?
Exactly. So who knows? Fuck, it'll put us forward. But yeah, I mean, I think as it's Australian Amazing Race and I'm not Australian, really, that might not get me past that hurdle. So
I think you'll be fine. You know.
So is it like a celebrity Amazing Race?
Yeah, well, so they're playing fast and loose with the term celebrity.
Yeah.
But that's why I guess it's good I'm on the radar.
Yeah.
But and you know, I was also on the radar. We talked about this on a Patreon ep where I went in and like read for the project. Not read, but like you sit at the desk and, you know, do the gags and shit. And a good friend, Sam Taunton, ended up booking it.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? A show run by his agency.
Someone's not better.
No. But now I'm like, fuck, I think I dodged a bullet because it seems rough.
It's a demanding gig.
It's a demanding gig. And I think people, boomers especially, love hating shit.
Yeah.
And when it's something changes that they used to love, oh, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah. Don't ruffle those feathers.
Don't ruffle those feathers.
Man, there's a real change in attitude. I remember when you were auditioning for it, you were walking around the house.
What?
You rewatched all the project episodes.
I did. Every single episode.
The Don Tran approach.
Yeah. And I put up a little cutout of Wally at the table there. And, you know,
he was crying. I had to console him.
He was
like, I didn't get it. You rang me and said, this is the worst Christmas ever. you've got a pretty funny thing. Is this to rip into Sean Conway?
Yeah.
It's on a poster and it says in brackets, back from USA.
Yeah. So, and then like if you can't see the whole poster there, but like it said, you know, someone's name and then UK, someone else's name, Sydney or whatever. And then under Sean Conway, because it's a WA gig, under Sean Conway, it says back from USA. Like, that's a fucking credit now?
It was just on holiday there as well.
It'd be funny if he like went for a relative's funeral or something. And then, the under his name. And I don't think whoever made the poster realized how stupid that was, or they were trying to be funny. They're like, fuck, what can I say about this guy? He's back from the USA.
When the person who doesn't have any credits, like they're scrambling around to try to get some.
And it'll say, that's when you see a credit that's like Melbourne International Comedy Festival 2016.
And
you're like, that's an open access festival.
Yeah, and that's 7 years ago.
I never write it, I should, but when people go, you do comedy? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what have you done? And I'm like, oh, I guess, you know, I'm doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Like, oh, my God. how'd you get into that?
Yeah.
Oh, and I should just write it. I should just go, it's hard. Instead, I just go, anyone can apply. this house could be a venue if you've applied.
Costs you money to apply and do a show. You know what I mean? Very few people turn a profit.
Yeah.
And so it's like, here's if you have a $500 registration fee,
yeah,
you're in.
Yeah. It's people like us that have been keeping that festival afloat for
totally
for years.
Yeah, the mid-level dudes, they feast off us.
Yeah.
I said that to Sean Conway, and I think I put it in a group chat, like making fun of the credit back from USA.
Because that's great.
I still get USA after my name,
you
know? And it's like, most of my life was there, I guess half my life at this point. But it's just crazy that, does anyone give a shit? Does anyone see USA in brackets and go, oh, better check this out?
They must do because the big dogs still do it.
Yeah.
People like Arj Barker and stuff. Like you'd think Arj is so huge and so well liked, he wouldn't need to still say USA.
Yeah.
But they still do it.
Right.
Kind of annoys me he doesn't put India on his, you know, that really
when is he going to lean into the Arch? A little less Barker, a little more Arch.
You know,
that's the best Elvis song.
So you've got that, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
There's not much else, really. There's just more holiday photos.
Yeah.
Which is really cute. You know, you're just having cute little
practicing
time
for the amazing race.
Yeah, that's it. Because we go to resorts and we're like, this must be just like the amazing race where they put you in some fucking slum in Delhi and like make you diarrhea your way out.
Yeah.
You've actually downloaded a photo of me with a cocktail.
Ah, yes. I was thinking I could use it for a future hack. Like, are you sending that to, I don't know, someone, Will Anderson or Dave Hughes, or like, care to join me or something?
Care to join me?
Yeah. So,
that's fucking
that was you. I think you were on holiday in New Zealand and you just took a fruity cocktail photo.
Yeah. I was having beautiful cocktails. It was great. You know,
because I think you tried that. There was when I was in Fiji the year before, I was like double fisting cocktails and like had like a stupid hat on or something, Hawaiian shirt. And then did you do something like that?
Who did you get? Who did you just send someone you're on the 100 with? Was it
Sophie?
No, it was the other guy. Who's the guy that was in the morning show?
Oh, Carl Stefanovic.
Yeah, was it him?
Oh, that was me flexing in a hot tub. And that's right.
Like jump in or some shit. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Come on in. The water's just fine. The Stefanovic.
That's great.
Yeah.
He's a good sport though, isn't he?
He is.
He's a real funny guy.
Yeah. I forget his response, but it was something like, please stop.
Okay. If that was too far for him.
Please stop.
All right. So spinning the wheel to see what we're going through in Capper's phone. It is... it's camera roll as well. All right. So Seren.
I'll probably find that same photo of Capper in New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hang on, I'll just get the camera roll up. Got a couple of albums there, but I think whatever you think. I'll probably have a lot of boring photos as well, you know. But I've had a great time. I discovered fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Deep sea, offshore, what are we talking?
I'm talking in the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, in the water.
Fuck yeah, dude. You sound like a pro.
I thought fishing was for boring, racist people.
Yeah.
And I mean, it still is.
You don't have to be boring, though. That's what you've discovered.
And it took all day, but it doesn't have to. My dad's got a cute little boat. It's a cool little boat.
Yeah.
And
we're talking like outboard motor. What is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Did you have a big accident on your trip?
I smashed my shoulder mountain biking. Absolutely came off real hard.
It looks like a bit more than your shoulder that smashed.
Oh, yeah, my back.
Yeah.
Grazed all my back. I screwed up my leg.
Bit of crack as well.
Jesus,
how did the cheeks go with the...
And then I hit my
head. That's your neck, your back, your pussy and your crack.
The mountain bike, it does all the areas, you know. Such pleasure.
Jesus Christ, I didn't know you had that, Phil.
Yeah. I'm still editing the video to... to put it out, yeah, I absolutely destroyed myself at this mountain bike park. New Zealand,
yeah,
they don't give a shit. No. They're just wild. They're just like, in Australia, that place would be cordoned off.
Yeah.
Like, enter at your own risk, fucking don't touch it. In New Zealand, it's like family fun mountain bike park.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was watching people come down like they'd just seen the war.
Yeah.
Like, families like, oh, we'll go on a cool little fun mountain bike ride.
Yeah.
And just walk down with fucking grazes all over them, smashed helmet.
Fuck.
Just, yeah.
And it's just open access.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Jesus
You
Christ.
Just go up on the gondola and they just, no one, like, I got this crazy downhill mountain bike. It was sick.
Yeah.
But they didn't ask me one question. They were just like,
you didn't sign anything, fucking
You just sign, but it's fine. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
Right.
Yeah, and I destroyed it twice, the mountain bike. I destroyed the lever the first time and I brought it down the block. I was like, oh, that's cool, bro.
Yeah.
And I smashed the helmet. He gave me a new helmet.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, you realize that when you go to other countries, like, again, when we were in Fiji last year and, like, you just take, do any of the activities, you're not signing waivers, they don't give a shit, it's do it at your own risk. Whereas when you're in Australia, you're like, this is so fucking controlled, and you got to make sure there's, you got to go through all these, like, fucking safety measures and shit. And it's just, I mean, it's that, Damien Power has that joke that, you know, Australia's meant to be the most laid-back country in the world, but it's actually the fucking strictest bullshit, most boring. What are you laughing at something at though?
No, the bit. There's nothing funny in here. But I remember it.
It went from like you looking for something funny to you like, you look like you're engrossed.
Yeah.
You know, like
the story of Capper's life.
There was a receipt and I was going to ask you about it, but I guess it's just for tax. You've just take photos of your receipts or?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't think I do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you should have asked me
about
it.
Well, then here we go there. It's a restaurant called Loi Loi. On Richmond Street.
Ah.
Vietnamese restaurant, and it's got...
Actually, there's a crazy story with that.
Oh, well, there you go.
There is a crazy story with that. My family surprised me for my 40th, and we said, oh, we'll go to this restaurant, Loi Loi.
Yeah. Right?
And there's a guy in comedy. I think he ran an open mic. I don't know whether he did comedy. He still kind of does podcasts and stuff. He had an ex-girlfriend, and I think she did open mic for a bit or whatever. So I'm in the restaurant, and this girl walks in, and I recognize her. She recognized me. I'm like, hey, how you going? Whatever. And she just ate by herself, like just ate Chinese by herself, and then walked out.
I think it was Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
She brought her own food.
She ate by herself and brought her own food.
Yeah,
power move. Yeah, it was a real power move. It was crazy. She got it and then she walked out and then I walked up to pay and they said, did you know that girl? And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, her card bounced.
What?
Can you pay for her?
Wow. How did they know that you knew her? Did she?
Because they saw me like,
right,
other side of the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll pay. And because she told me she was going to the pub down the road.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I might see you there maybe. I'll take my brother and sister down there. I was like, yeah, your card bounced. And I took a photo of it. But don't worry, I paid it. You know, it was $20 or something like that.
You got dumb and dumbered. You know when they're in the fucking cafe and like they're like the sea bass trick?
Yeah.
He goes and says something. You got fucking fully dumb and dumbered.
I got fully dumb and dumbered. Yeah. So it was just funny. I just sent her the receipt and because I was drunk and feeling, I don't know, good. I just turned 40. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
It's on me.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, generous man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I'll probably never see her again. I don't know why I did that.
So you sent her the receipt and what? No response?
No, she was like, oh, let me pay you. I'm so sorry. Send us your bank account details. I'll put it in. I was like, you know what?
You
don't
covered
worry
it.
About it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Don't
high
worry
roller.
About it.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I thought that's kind of fun.
And now you got the receipt.
It's only like $23 or something. Who cares?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't even bother. I know I'll be asking Mike for money in probably probably 2 to 3 days. Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
It's funny, you did hit me up for $23 around the same time.
Yeah. Yo, Mike, you got a spare 23?
Yeah.
When you got into the pub, was she like buying rounds for people? And
yeah.
Yeah.
I walked into the pub and she was just leaving, which was weird.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just leaving with 2 cocktails, which she walked down the street with, which is so weird, you know.
What a generous man. What a kind thing to do, you know, pay for this lady's meal. And then now, but you expect something in return, though. That's the...
I like it when people do cool shit. Uh-huh. Like, that's not that cool.
Yeah.
But I remember one time I was at Spleen, and they had a tab for all the drinks, and there was comedians, you know, you put drinks on a tab, and you get it, because it was just after COVID.
Yeah.
It's when you couldn't have bar service. And I remember Tommy Little walking up and just going, "Hey, guys, I got all the drinks. See ya."
Nice.
Yeah, oh, that's nice. Cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
But he also roofied all the drinks.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fine. He's not going to do that.
Kappa, when are you going to learn nothing in this life comes free?
I roofied his drink, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But also, it was your birthday, your 40th. Presumably, your family had just paid for your... So you just had your dinner paid for, and then you're feeling like a king because you paid for this other chick's.
Do you know what I hate about that? You're exactly correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had just got 2 free meals, like about probably $100 worth of free drinks.
Right.
From the pub before. Yeah.
And no, you're like, you know what? This 23, that's on me.
I love years down the track, though. When you are broke and you'll be like, you'll hit her up and you go, "You got that $23.
Yeah. He's still got the fruit seed. He's still
keeping it. He was like, "You remember that? Remember in 2022?
Thank God for the cloud. Yeah, I can look it up.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. So, crazy things. You know, always take a photo of the receipts. Always make sure that the card is correct.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what you're
going to
do.
All right. Spinning the wheel to see what I'm going through in Soren's phone. Let's get the music going. It is notes. Oh, no, are you an avid note taker? Is this joke ideas? Is this mantras?
There's probably a lot of weird shit in here.
Oh, I love it.
Because I'm in the process of writing a show. And it's,
so you're doing a Melbourne Comedy Festival show?
I am, yeah.
How'd you get that?
What, I can't tell you the secret, mate. Very exclusive. Yeah.
One's all Japanese characters.
Yeah.
Are you learning Japanese or you write your notes?
No, it's Chinese and it's because I have food allergies.
Uh-huh.
So I just show that. There is a kind of, it's not a huge story, but it's kind of funny. The other day, the reason that's at the top of the notes is because I was in Chinatown a few nights ago and I went in there and I learned Mandarin at high school, so I know how to say it.
Yeah.
I don't know much. Like, I don't remember anything, but I just remember this phrase, which is "wo bu neng chi juma," which means I can't eat sesame.
Yeah.
But I always say it and show it as well, just in case they don't. My pronunciation. Oh, yeah. I'd love
if you just walked in showing them the note and they're like, we speak English.
Yeah. That has happened.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you got to be careful, whatever. But this lady, I don't know. I don't think she was. I don't even think she was Chinese or something. Or maybe a different dialect.
Yeah.
And she just looked at it and couldn't read it. And I heard me try to butcher the sentence.
Yeah.
And all she understood
was... You're actually saying, "I love sesame."
Yeah.
Really?
She went back into the kitchen and brought back a bowl of oil and put it down next to me and was like... And was looking at me like, "This is the weirdest request, but okay, I'm a nice lady."
And it was just a bowl of sesame. And that, like, will kill you.
Yeah.
The thing that you're allergic to.
And I didn't know. It took me a second to piece together what was happening. I was like, "What is this?"
Yeah.
And then luckily my friend was there and he could smell it straight away. It was like, that's,
Don't, unless she hated you that much. Yeah. You came in and you were like just holding your notes up to her face and she was like, "Oh, if he has sesame, it'll kill him. I'm going to bring him a fucking bowl of
sesame."
Show,
let's treat you how we would in the homeland. You know what I mean? There's no requests where I come from.
Fuck.
There's a lot. Do you go note by note? Like, is it one idea per note? Is that what I'm looking at?
No, it'll be it'll just be, it's like I'm just listing a whole bunch of shit and then when it gets too long, I'm like,
yeah,
I'll start a new one.
I don't mind this. This is, you've been eavesdropping a bit. This is funny things overheard.
Okay.
Top of it is, hang on, I just need to double click on that. And then in brackets, someone wanting to find out more about something.
Yo, yeah. This is on a podcast where they like, there's this podcast I listen to where they're like ex-Twitter, they're ex-tech gurus.
Yeah.
And right. Their podcast is all about how social media is fucking up our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why that phrase just stood out, because it's like he was talking about how bad Twitter is for society. But then he was retelling this conversation he had and how someone said something interesting and he was like, yeah, I just need to double click on that. Like as if...
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's so ingrained even in him. He knows that social media...
Everyone's fucking internet brain.
Yeah.
Now.
And I was just like that phrase to... You could just be like, oh, let's talk about that more, or like, oh, I'm interested in that. But like, oh, hang on, I need to double click on that.
Oh,
it just...
Man.
It felt so gross.
Yeah, that's turbo dork. Yeah.
Let's zoom in on that.
Let me screenshot this with my eyes.
Yeah.
Like for my memory.
It's probably not weird for you, Mike, but it was weird going to Queenstown, or when you're in a touristy place where there's heaps of Americans.
Yeah.
They do say a lot of what you walk past, you do eavesdrop on some just weird phrases that you don't actually hear another race kind of say.
Yeah.
Like I was at the airport and there was this old American guy there. I just walked past him and he's like, from a young age, I've always wanted to fly.
Yeah, dude. Every American has that main character syndrome so bad.
Yeah.
Where they're the star of their own fucking movie and everyone else.
Totally. Yeah. Or it's that, and it's like everything is an audition or a...
Yeah.
You know, they're always selling themselves as...
That's why they're so loud.
Yeah.
You know, you got to project.
Yeah, but it's not even that... Is it a competitive... place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course it is.
you get 2 weeks holiday a year. You got to fucking just have a side hustle or something to make your life, you know, there's so many people there.
Yeah.
You got to work to do, like your brother and sister probably all have side hustles or some shit, do they?
Because in my head, China, the reason I was like, it's not that competitive because I'm thinking of China where it's like a billion people.
Yeah.
And they're all so smart.
But they're all about teamwork over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how the COVID numbers are so high.
Yeah, exactly, man. They're collaborative over there.
One in all in.
America's all about the individual. And, you know, like being more successful than the guy next to you.
And then
if he is, you can shoot him, I guess. You know?
Man, we listen to...
start early, though.
Yeah. We listened to Steve-O's podcast where he's interviewing Bam Margera. And I was like, hell yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be really cool. But all they do is talk about like fucking... He's like, yeah, I got my own brand going now. You know, he's like, yeah, that's cool, man. You're making money. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm putting my money in shares and... They're like, you know, it's all about synergy and creating a brand, and I got heaps of subscribers. I'm like, I don't want to hear about you cunts talk about this.
Yeah,
I want to hear about the asses getting set on fire and shit, and you know, I don't want to hear about your hustle. I don't care. You know, it's like, we're doing stand up now. The shows are going great. I'm like, I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that Steve-O's doing stand up.
Steve-O's touring here, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What is he? Does he still do shooting fireworks out of his ass on stage and like fucking lighting his pubes on fire? He must do.
I reckon it would be deep men's health talk.
Yeah. The description for his show, someone texted to me. It's pretty funny.
Right.
If I.
Yeah, go back in.
It kind of makes you want to see the show, actually.
Right. Because he does stand up now, or he tries.
Yeah.
This is it. This is his. The big bolded text is.
All right. This is the Steve-O's The Bucket List Tour. Absolutely no minors allowed. No filming or photography. No warning. No refunds. The show will be filmed by entering. You agree to be filmed and content may be distributed. Fuck. And
I just kind of want to go see it now.
It says it's a highly XXX rated multimedia comedy show. Not for kids or the faint of heart. So yeah, that's wrote me in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
XXX rated.
Man, forget about what I said. I'm buying tickets.
The only thing that's XXX rated is like hardcore porn.
Yeah. What's he doing up there? There's got to be little people involved in some aspect.
Man, it'd be funny if you're just playing old episodes of Jackass. He's just look at this one. Yeah, this one's good.
Yeah, exactly. Remember this?
Then it has 10 minutes of porn up at the end. These are my favorite scenes. These just got the thing.
So I got out of your notes now. Oh, no, I'm back in. There's another sesame seed related one, sesame seed tattoo. So are you thinking of getting the I'm allergic to sesame seed tattoo?
Well, my first thought was like maybe I should just get it like tattooed on my lip or something.
Oh, yeah. Pull your lip down?
Yeah, just show them. But then I thought if I had a sesame seed tattoo, it's like people would think I'd been to prison if you just tattooed a sesame seed on your face.
Hell yeah.
It's very tear-shaped. I didn't take that thought any further. But
That's a pretty funny bit, though. You get the sesame seed under
there. If you're trying to commit, to explain to people.
This is for a friend of mine that died of allergies.
But there's not a lot of room. If you go lip, there's not too much room. So you just would say what? Sesame?
No sesame.
No sesame? Yeah. And people are like, man, this guy hates Big Bird.
Which I do.
Yeah, as you should.
Man, you're. Do you find like because you? I saw a comedy show of yours where you talked about having eczema and stuff like that. Mm. I don't know. I didn't really notice it before, but your skin looks a lot better. Have you been doing stuff to combat it?
Thank you. Not really.
Yeah.
I tried for ages using going to the specialist doctors or whatever, and they give you this steroid stuff.
Yeah.
And then I realized the reason it was getting worse was every time you get like withdrawals, your body gets withdrawals when you come off the steroid stuff.
Oh, right.
And I would think that was the eczema.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'd be like, oh, I need to use it again. And then the longer you use it, so I just went like kind of cold turkey. And then
because I thought like if you had something like that, I've never had a medical thing that I've had to keep on top of.
Yeah.
As you get older, you would just work out more shit to combat it.
Yeah.
Or you would just give up like you did.
I have to moisturize a lot.
I'm
spending like hours of my day moisturizing.
I still do some ways just have a BO problem, like a fucking just sweat, like real bad. But then I found once I did exercise and just ate a bit better, drank water and didn't drink soft drink anymore, whole lot more easy to handle.
So much of it is just the basic, simple stuff.
He's just like, who would have thought getting sleep, being healthy.
Showering, wearing deodorant. All of a sudden I smell good.
Oh, man, I was pummeling myself with deodorant, but it was all the canned stuff. That doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
It just covers it.
Yeah.
And when you stop using, it's like the steroid thing. Your arms come up in these real red kind of rash. And you're why did I do this? Oh, I got to put more deodorant on. You're like, oh, that's funding the problem.
Anyway. One more thing in the notes. There's paragraphs on the window seat versus the aisle seat on a plane. So you went in deep. I mean, have you tried this on stage? There's some good lines in here.
It's brand new. That I wrote that while I was on a plane.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have thought about it. But the reason – I think the bit is about how I got allocated the window seat. I didn't even choose it.
Yeah.
And so I didn't care. I think I just wanted to sleep.
Yeah.
And the lady next to me kept like looking.
Oh, she wanted to see the view.
Yeah.
That's fucking worse.
So then I, in my head, I was like felt the pressure of being in the
showing
window
her?
And having to enjoy the view.
Yeah.
And because she kept craning over. And then I think it would be funny if at the end of it, she's like, do you know how much I would have paid for that? And I would be like, well, it's somewhere less than $38, obviously, because you didn't fucking pay for
it. No,
you've
got the curse of the middle seat.
Yeah.
You got to fucking just deal with it. And I shut the window immediately, right? Like fucking, but on Australian flights, I think the only country that makes you do this.
They make you put it up.
They make you put the windows
up.
Even if it's like the sun's blaring through and fuck, there's nothing to see.
For ages, those little things on planes, you just take for granted that it must have something to do with the safe landing and operation of the plane.
Yeah.
But then you realize it's just they don't want to go through and do it themselves.
Totally. And then I looked it up once or something and they said it's so there's that many more eyes looking out in case of what? Incoming aircraft or some shit.
Yeah.
It's like more, that's their safety procedure. And you're full of shit.
Yeah.
It's just like people looking out going, oh, look, we're going to crash.
Yeah.
It'd be more people just ramming to get the one window. Like, fuck, the engine's on fire.
Well,
you know?
Dude.
I feel like that's the same with, you know how every flight now you got to go on the tarmac.
Yeah.
But, and they're like, you can't use your phone on the tarmac.
Yeah.
They tell it to you as if it's going to be interrupting with signals and shit.
Yeah.
I reckon it's just that they're like, they don't want you to be looking at your phone and something like there's a car coming or whatever.
They want
or,
you to pay attention to their stupid fucking little safety performance.
Yeah. With the I'm asleep straight away. I'm closing my eyes as soon as
we know how a seatbelt works. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like,
have you updated that speech in fucking forever?
No. And then if you're sitting in an emergency aisle when they always come through and ask and go, well, are you willing and able? And everyone says yes. But I had a lady say no. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, who says no? It's like they had to move her to a different seat. Yeah. I was like, you weak bitch.
Yeah. Also, there's not going to be an emergency, fucking idiot.
And if there is, we're all dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, what are you, if, yeah, exactly. But she'll be thinking, well, I made a smart choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I doing anything?
Yeah. And then I think I tried this once. I go, oh, on Australian flights, they want you to keep the window up. Just so you can report any suspicious boats coming in. Because I don't think it worked. I think I tried it once. People were like, what? Is that a rule? Like, what? Is that?
Yeah.
Because it does seem so
dumb. But we're rule followers.
Yeah.
So when there is a rule, we don't think it's a rule. We just do it, you know?
Yeah. But it's also, it seems ridiculous that that's the reason that everyone's got to be looking out the window in case of danger.
It's not that. It's that the flight attendants are too fucking lazy to. They don't even want to check the back of the pocket thing. Yeah.
No, dude. One of the biggest discoveries of my childhood was we found a Hustler magazine shoved into the back seat pocket of a plane.
Yeah.
And I was I was too young to really appreciate it, but my older brother was jacking it.
Yeah.
He went to that bathroom on the trip real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, defining.
What
moment.
A legend who left that there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, at American airports, I don't know if they do it here, but they do sell hardcore porno mags in the news agencies at American airports.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, people are making that purchase and then just like.
That's not surprising. Man. I saw it was on Twitter. It was like, I didn't really click on it to find out details. So I don't know if it was Photoshop, but I think it was real because it went crazy viral. But it was a Delta Airlines. Did you see this? It was a screenshot of a Delta Airlines thing at the airport with the screen, which would normally have like which plane was departing that
gate.
And obviously whoever was like meant to be programming that was looking at porn on their computer and didn't realize they were streaming that to that screen. And it was like a fucking hardcore. It was
really?
The Steve-O show on the fucking
TV.
Really?
The Delta Gate, just hardcore penetration. Like people are like, I just want to know if my flight's on time.
Is this the right
gate? I want to get on this flight, I'll tell you that. Oh man, that's crazy. But what, he was just on at his desk?
I don't know. That's what I assume. Because that would be coming from someone has to program.
Or someone hacked in, was like, I'm just going to put porn on this.
Yeah. That's always my biggest nightmare, that you have your speaker still connected or something. Somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just people hearing donkey squeals and stuff. Yeah. You know?
Well, this is another, one more thing.
Because that's the stuff I'm into, you know?
Yeah, the window seat is that if you do look out, you go, oh, there's a ton of pools and tennis courts in that area. That must be a rich suburb. And so, yeah, you got a mention of see people's pools, get jealous. And I think I tried the gag once where I go, you could see where the rich people are when you're on a flight if you look out and see where the pools are, right? And you could see where the poor people are if you look around your Tiger flight.
That's good.
It never worked.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Like, I think maybe I tried it once or twice in shitty open mics and people were like,
I like it.
Should bring it back. But Tiger's gone. What's the, you Jetstar.
I think Jetstar would have been... It might have worked if you'd said Jetstar.
Right.
Yeah.
So bring it back. Because
my experience, when I flew Tiger, I always loved it because it was only Asian people on it.
Yeah.
And whenever I flew Jetstar, it was like huge dudes and I'm small and I would never got the armrest.
Right.
Yeah. But Tiger was like, you had to sacrifice the overhead.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most Asian flyers, they're bored and they're getting their overhead.
Yeah.
They've somehow managed to get 8 bags onto a Tiger flight not pay any more for it.
Yeah.
But on Jetstar, you'll get as much overhead as you want, but you got no space.
No space.
It's big dudes that, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing the bag under the seat in front of me again. That's what I do.
Yeah. I do that as well. I've been doing that. It's so stress-free.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
Especially if it's just a short flight.
Yeah.
But I feel like the poor people on the plane thing, I don't think poor white people are flying Tiger. Like, I mean, obviously not now, but I don't think they ever were.
No.
Tiger was a step below, like a too scary for him.
Yeah. Right. Tiger was the real budget. Well, I thought they were kind of equivalent, Jetstar and
Yeah,
Tiger.
But I think in terms of psychology, they were like...
Tiger's like, for ethnics?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
I tried not to fly Tiger, but I was always so broke I had to.
Yeah.
But I tried not to fly because it was so incredibly unreliable. It was just so crazy.
Like, you know, it wasn't that different to Jetstar, I reckon.
Yeah.
They're both shit. I mean, but Tiger didn't survive the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the old Chinese flu.
Jetstar made it through. Yeah. So you're just, it is a bus in the sky, though, really.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
Man, the thing is, like, when I went to New Zealand, Air New Zealand is like such a good airline. It's so good. But they always try to bring humor to everything, and it's kind of cute, but then also you're just like, just show me the fucking in-flight video, how to put the... They've got like, oh, here is Sam Neill to tell us, and they're like standing in a jungle. They're not even in a plane. Like, oh, this is how you put the seatbelt on the boat. And, you know, the Maori gods have blessed us and stuff like that. Yeah, it's all Taika Waititi stuff. And the guy from Crowded House is there. And just like, look, this is all... I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You're trying to... But just let me fucking watch the movie.
They're doing the haka down the aisle.
Yeah, it's
great. It's like, all right, we get it.
Yeah, we get it.
Kiwi. All right, well, I think that's it, really, in the notes on Soren's phone. Something about a Ponzi scheme, having to make an honest living. I'd happily take it over house arrest. Is this still window seat stuff? Maybe it is. No.
Fuck, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. That's why I've never run a Ponzi scheme. It's incredibly inconvenient. Having to make an honest living, but I happily take it over house arrest. Nothing there?
It was something about how... I think I was thinking about it. It would be like looking out a window, having a nice view. It's something to do with having a nice view.
Right, so it's still part of the window.
Yeah. It's nothing there.
And then, dude, it just shows, I mean, I do this now as well, but you've got a big title that says TikTok idea and then Secret Society password. Okay, now which one of these is a tree?
Oh, so that was like, I thought it would be funny to do a, because I was like, where the word password, why do we say that? And I was thinking like, in the old days, the password was like you're trying to get into a...
Right.
It was a word that you actually had to say so they would let you into
a
thing.
Yeah.
But if that wasn't enough, if they had extra levels of security like we do now.
Yeah.
And so it was like a guy just physically holding up... You like the recapture thing?
Did this end up on TikTok? Did you make
it? No, I've never...
I mean, that's what I do. I'll just have an idea and go...
That would be me again on I think it was on the flight. It was but turning the recapture thing into like a physical
physical thing. Yeah. So you need to make a
it's too much effort. It's too much effort for a TikTok.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Go to the props department at ABC and see if they can knock one up for you.
Man,
every idea is good on a plane though.
I think I'm a genius on a plane.
Yeah.
You're not using your phone, the creativity's flowing.
Exactly.
And then you look at it and you're like, I wrote four paragraphs on the window seat.
Man, I start these lists. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a TikTok every day. It doesn't matter how shit it is. Just going to feed that beast. I'm going to write down a list of ideas. I'm going to do 20 in a row. That's what I'm going to do. And then it gets to like the first three and you're like, then you go out one night, you don't post. And then now I haven't done it for 3 days.
Yeah.
But if you don't post, you also look at it way less. Do you know what I mean?
That is a benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your TikTok handle? Might as well plug it now or at the end of the episode.
I think it'll be at Soren Comedy.
Okay.
I think so. Let me actually check. This
same as Insta? All right, man. Cool.
Yeah, same as Insta. So at Soren Comedy and just go on Insta. Everything that I've put on TikTok is already
Could you
on
digitally
Insta.
Make that sketch without the prop thing? I guess it doesn't really work, does it?
Well, you could just be... I guess you could... You don't need to hold up photos. You could just... It'd be even funnier if you pointed... If there was... You pointed to the world and you're like, should point all the trees out or something like that.
Yeah.
Which one of these is a tree?
Yeah. All right. Well, sweet. That's yeah.
that was a good response. Yeah.
So no hacks. I mean, I don't have anything planned. I don't even have the dice in front of me. We can eventually get back into them in future.
Yes, at some point.
Yeah, it gives us content, you know. But they want blood. The listeners want blood.
Yeah, they want blood.
Yeah,
they're pigs.
Yeah. So, but we have a bunch of old hacks that I now have. You've let me back into the Instagram account on Phone Hacks, so I'll post a bunch of those. Get on the Patreon. Tons of bonus episodes coming up, as well as maybe Capper's little drug-fueled one in Brisbane.
Yeah, there's maybe. We'll see how it goes.
Maybe 5 minutes and then it cuts out.
Could be 5 minutes, could be a whole episode. Yeah. We don't know.
And we all have festival shows coming up for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Capper, you're doing a bunch of tours before that?
Yes. I think they'll be over before this episode gets released. But yeah, I'll be in Perth, doing Adelaide, Melbourne, and then Brisbane and Sydney should be on sale soon.
Right. When are you in Adelaide?
Maybe for 3 weeks. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
I think the last 2 weeks at least.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So basically, there's going to be a lot more Capperless episodes coming up.
Well, we'll try and squeeze a lot more in because I do enjoy these a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy having my Michael with me.
Oh, yeah.
When
Nicholas.
You come back to the podcast, they'll be like, there's no more hacks, there's no more phones.
Yeah.
This is,
it's nothing. There's no guidance or premise whatsoever. It's just fucking us talking about the hottest Spice Girl for an hour.
Yeah. Mum and Dad, when you were in America, I didn't even know they always... Everyone I talk to, man, they always get your name wrong. They're like, oh, man, how's that guy Mike Goldberg going? Or Mike Goldman or Mike Golded.
Yeah.
Or someone said Goldie. Mike Goldie?
Dude, one of the guys I grew up with, his dad still refers to me as Greenberg.
Greenberg.
As long as it's vaguely Jewish enough, they just run with it.
Yeah, people just run with it. Everyone got you. Anyway, they were like, hey, is Goldberg okay? We noticed that he wasn't in some of the eps. Like, they don't listen, but they just see the image.
Yeah.
Is he okay?
They thought I had
Did something happen to him?
They care enough about you to know you're a Jew, and that's it.
Yeah. Is that fucking Heeb all right?
Is he doing Passover or something like that? No podcast? Like, no electricity?
Yeah. Tell him I hurt myself in a Heidel Deidel incident.
He was fiddling on the roof again.
Yeah, fell off. Great. Well, so we'll try and get as much, with Capper before you go on the road again. And then, anything else to plug? I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
Love you. Worries, bye. Bye. Bye.